Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. You tune me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others of you tune me in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM, or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. And WION is now heard on 100.3 FM in the low area, Ada area. So we welcome those of you from that area as well. Greenville, some of you tuned me in by WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts, Ionia and Greenville, by the way of the web. And that's pretty special. You tune me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that are listening by the way of my website is pastorkenharger.com. Take your mouse and scroll over top of the messages from the lighthouse. It'll light up current media. Click on current media and it takes you to the broadcast that I have there for this morning. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial costs of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area, to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area, to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband Dave, and she's from the Greenville area, and to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. Always like to give an invitation to 10 Shiloh Community Church, but before I do, I need to say thank you to Kian Kingsinger for picking out my music for today. I appreciate that so very much. But services at Shiloh Community Church in the Shiloh campus, it's a Sunday morning, Saturday evening it begins, rather, Saturday evening at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then we have the contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, which is located at the old Baptist, Calvary Baptist Church in at the corner of Grove and LeRae Street, that's Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation to attend any one of those services, and we'd be so happy to have you be there. It's a Thursday afternoon that I'm putting the CD together for Sunday morning. I've had a cold for all last week. I had some virus, and then it left me with a tremendously sore throat, and also my voice was gone. I was coming over to do it Wednesday, and I couldn't only get about four or five words out, and then the voice would quit. So I'm looking forward to maybe this is going to be better for us this morning, and so I'm looking forward to sharing a message with you, getting a glimpse of the God of forward motion. God really wants to take us forward from wherever we are at this point in time in our life. And this message is meant to help us to get along a way with that, that would help us tremendously in our individual walk that we have with Him. We'll be talking about Moses. We'll be talking about some other things as well. And I trust, I meant Abraham. And we'll be learning some lessons as Abraham becomes our teacher this morning. Well, I think that takes care of everything I need to do. So I got a song I want us to listen to get us started for the broadcast time. And this song is just giving us this idea that God wants us to press on. He doesn't want us to give up. He doesn't want us to coast. He wants us to press on. And that's something that is tremendously important for each one of us to understand. So this song, I'll be right back in a few minutes and share the message with you for today. God bless you. Thanks for tuning me in this morning.
When the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble, choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources,
We find that strength to press on. And we need to know that we do need to press on. We need to move forward, and that's what we're going to talk about. The God, to get a glimpse of the God of motivation for us to move forward. He says, you know, when your strength is all gone, you seem to find the strength somewhere. One of my favorite verses that I like to use is, as your day is, so shall your strength be. Last week when I had that there virus and I had 4 funerals during that period of time, I used that verse many times. As your day is, so shall your strength be. As we think about God motivating us to move forward beyond where we are right now, there's a verse in the book of Galatians that I like to use as a foundation verse. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. This is telling us our life will have many different seasons, and we're going to have a season of sowing and a season of reaping, and he wants us to realize that that's what's going to be a part of your life and mine. And what we need to for each season is described like the work of a farmer. And I love this description of it in the book of James chapter 7, and James chapter 5, rather, verses 7 and 8. He's saying, you know what? I want you to be patient, therefore, my brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the field, being patient about it until it receives the early and then the latter rain. You also be patient, establishing your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. In fact, there were 2 main rainfalls during the year. The early rain came just after the seed time. And then the preparing of the ground was made it ready to do the seeding. Excuse me. My voice is doing something there right there. And the other prepared the crops for the harvest. The growing season, the growing of the crop in that latter rain covered it a tremendous amount of difference in the amount of crop that was going to be produced from that field. And the farmer is an illustration of you and I being patient as we go through this growing process of our life and moving forward process of our life as God tries to urge us on. A few years ago during the Monday night football game, an announcer made the point of the Hall of Fame Bears running back Walter Payton, and accumulated over 9 miles of rushing yards over his career. The other commentator added, yeah, that's with somebody knocking him down every 4 to 6 yards. Well, how much would he, if he just could have ran, you know, how much would he have done? You and I need to realize we don't have somebody trying to knock us down every 4 or 5 yards. But James is teaching us that no matter how often we get knocked down, we are to get up and go, keep on doing and make it up our mind to do it. Be patient, therefore, willing to go and do whatever is needed to do, regardless of the circumstances or how we feel. Notice that notice what we are to do while we're waiting. Establish your word today is establish your heart. Get your heart to be in tune with you as an individual. You know, sometimes I've watched it through the years when people get complacent and dissatisfied with the status quo, so to speak. It comes from, this term established comes from the word of having it firmly fixed in your mind. This idea of establishing this in your mind means it's firmly fixed. That you're not going to give up. You're going to keep on going and do whatever you need to do in order to accomplish the purpose that God wants for you to do. If we want to move forward, God calls for us to be patient, enduring. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, this is what he says in verse 15. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. All of us have to learn how to endure things. There's things we face that we are not asked for and cannot change. But the key is patiently endure. This means that we are not to become bitter, grumble, complain. We position ourselves on the promise of God and keep on doing the right thing patiently, waiting on God to take care of the rest. The harvest time is going to come, and we need to know that. Think of what impatient endurance looks like. When you are waiting in a checkout line at the grocery store, do you kind of get a little impatient once in a while? Wish they had opened up another checkout counter, you know. When you're waiting for the road crew working on the road, I think we need to understand that what God's trying to show us this week is as we wait on Him, God's able to bring about some good things out of our life. I like an Old Testament promise that says, I know the plans I have for you, because the plans I have for you are not to harm you, but plans to cause hope and prosperity. Hope and prosperity. God's saying, I've got a plan for you, and that plan is something very special. I want to move you forward with hope. And you know, when God's saying He wants to move us forward, He wants to see us have some forward motion. You know, I think we need to understand that God knows that's best for us. As God worked in the life of Abraham to move him forward, Abraham obeyed even though he did not know where he was going. God came to Abraham one day and He said, Abraham, I want to make out of you a great nation, but you can't make it from where you are here. We got to move you forward. We got to move you out of this one land you're in way over to another land, the land of Cana. And that was a long journey back in that day. And God's saying, I'm going to move you. And I'm going to move you forward because I'm going to bless you when we get over there. And I'm going to cause some things to happen that's going to make you a great nation. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, so that will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in the family of the earth shall you be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. And now listen to this, folks. Abraham was 75 years old when God came to him with this message. I want to take you to a new country, and I want to make out of you a great nation. 75 years old. And Abraham took his wife Sarah, and Lot, his brother's son, and all three possessed all the possessions that they had. They gathered all the possessions together, and they headed for this new land of Cana. Man, I don't know how many people would respond to that kind of a message. I'm not going to move you forward. I'm going to move you a long, long ways from where you are here. God spoke to Abraham and asked him to leave behind and to move forward to a new land, and told him, leave your country and leave your people, your father's household, and go to this land that I'll show you. He has no guarantee of that. You know, when we was going to Florida, every time I rented a condo to be in Florida for the month of February, I wanted to look at that condo. I wanted to see what it looked like, where it was, on what floor it was. I wanted to see what it looked like in the bathroom and the kitchen and some of those kinds of things. Leave your country and I'll take you to a land that I will show you. I don't think I ever went down to Florida in my 22 years of going that we didn't have a good look at the condo before we rented it. So I think Abraham must have said, wow, that's a big request. And it was, wasn't it? But think about this. Abraham was an adult. He's already 75 years old. God promised Abraham that he would bless him. He'd make him into a great nation. He also promised him to make his name great and that all the people would be blessed not only through his generation, but all the peoples of the earth would be blessed. Abraham believed God, and he knew that God would keep his promise because he had faith in God. So he left his country, he left his family, he left the land where he was living, and he's ready to make this big move in just a matter of days. God kept a promise to Abraham. He did make him a great nation and blessed him and made his name great. All the peoples of the earth were blessed through Abraham. You know why I can say that? Because Jesus Christ eventually came through his family to each one of us. God has blessed us because of Abraham. He's blessed everybody in sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That caused Abraham to move forward by faith. And he was in obedience to do what he was told to do. And that's pretty special. So I just want to say this. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He didn't see a whole lot of evidence of what God was going to do. He hadn't seen where God was going to, what the country looked like that God was going to have him become a great nation in. He didn't see any of that stuff, and yet he was willing to leave and go do what God had called him to do. No wonder that song says to you and I, press on, press on. I think we get ourselves in trouble when we just kind of want to coast a little bit. Or sometimes I believe we even put it in park. And sometimes we forget to put it in park and it rolls backwards. This forward motion sometimes is hindered by our wrong choices. You know, everything that you and I do, the decisions we make every day, the choices that we make, those are there to remind us that we can make a good choice or a wrong choice. I love what the Bible records when the people of God made choices, but it also records when they made good choices, but also the Bible always is recorded when people made wrong choices. There was a famine in land. Abraham went to Egypt to stay for a little while on his journey to the land of Canaan. When he was about to enter into Egypt, Abraham said to his wife Sarah, Sarah, I know you're a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they'll say, this is his wife. And then they'll kill me, but let you live. Please say that you're my sister. Then everything will be all right for me, and because of you, I will live. When Abraham arrived in Egypt, and the Egyptians saw how very beautiful his wife was, when Pharaoh officials saw her, they raved about her. They raved to Pharaoh about her. Sarah was taken into Pharaoh's palace. Everything went well until because of Abraham, because of her, he was given some sheep and cattle and donkeys and male and female slaves and camels. However, the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with a terrible plague. Because of Abraham's wife. He lied to them. He had Sarah lie to them. And then Pharaoh came to Abraham and he says, what have you done? He asked, why didn't you tell me she's your wife? Why did you say she's my sister and allowed me to take her for my wife, thinking I want her to be my wife? Here's your wife. Take her. And go. Kind of like that. Take her and go. Pharaoh gave the men orders concerning Abraham, and he sent Abraham away with his wife and everything that they had and those things that they had accumulated. Sometimes we make wrong choices. Sometimes it's just little lies that gets us into big trouble. You know, that's what Abraham had done. And you know what? I just love the way God protected Sarah, even in the wrong choice that Abraham made. When God has called us to move forward in this area of our life, We must be aware that we will have some tough times in making progress in this call of God. But it will be worth it. But we can learn from Abraham not to take matters into our own hands, but instead to trust God's leadership. God would have told Abraham to do that. I believe what caused him to do this was fear. And fear paralyzed him from moving in obedience. But we need to learn that this disobedience to trust God did not only hurt Abraham, but it also hurt Sarah. It also hurt Pharaoh of Egypt and the people of Egypt. It brought great embarrassment to Abraham when he spoke by Pharaoh, "Why did you do this? What were you thinking?" I love when Abraham messed up that God stepped in and protected Sarah and got them back on track to move them forward motion. I love this thought. When you can't see God's hands, trust God's heart. What he tells you to do, do it in obedience to him, because he knows what is best. Got to take a little break now and get a little sip of some water and stuff that I got here and cough up some things that I feel accumulating in the back of my throat. But you know, this song that I didn't want us to listen to is giving us another idea about this forward motion and about God wanting us to move forward. You know, one day there was 10 lepers that met Jesus on the road. 9 of them were Jews and 1 of them was a Samaritan. You know, they asked for mercy. Jesus told them, "You'll be healed as you walk on your journey. Go show yourself to the priest and you will be healed." All of a sudden, as they were walking along the road, they noticed they had been healed. Their hands, the sores and the wounds, and they could tell it on the rest of their body. They were being healed as they walked on their journey to see the priest. There was one of them, the Samaritan, that when he saw that, sometimes we need to know this. Forward motion is the best that we can do when we go back and make things right. You know what this Samaritan did? He went back to Jesus and he fell down on his knees before him and thanked him for what Jesus had done. Then Jesus said, "Were there not 10 of you healed? Where's the other 9? The other 9 just went on. Oh, we could say they were doing the forward motion, going to show themselves to the priest so they could get reestablished back in society. But you know what? This Samaritan, Jesus commends, and he said, "This would have been the last one I would have thought would have returned to give thanks. But this one returned to give thanks." And you know what? Sometimes that forward motion is helped tremendously when you pause to give thanks. Think what it would have happened to Abraham if he would have thanked God for his wife Sarah instead of encouraging her to lie that she was his sister. If he would have thanked God that he could keep her safe instead of putting her in jeopardy. We need to learn this morning that God is reminding us that we need to move forward, but we need to do it out of a grateful heart. We need to do it out of thanksgiving, that this has been such a blessing in my life. I'm ready to move forward. So let's listen to this song. And this song is reminding us of just how important that was for this here Samaritan to return and give thanks to the Lord for what the Lord had done for him. I'll be right back as soon as I fix my voice a little bit. Bye-bye.
home to behold their wish he granted. Then they all ran away. One of them returned to him and fell at his feet with tears of joy. To the master he brought thanks. Let me be the one to say thank you when all others have turned and walked. My life full of sin, my dreams were shattered, my world in disarray. But his tender grace my sin erased, and he made my life anew. I've got to praise him.
Getting a glimpse of the God of forward motion. The forward motion sometimes is not only hindered by what's happening in your life, the decisions you're making, but sometimes it's hindered by decisions other people make. I like one day when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said to them, I want you to understand that, you know, with your life, you got to be careful of what all others may be doing towards you as an individual. He said, take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's saying, you know, I want you to have a relationship with me. But you got to be careful because the Pharisees, the religious people, and the Sadducees, another group of religious people, they will be looking just to provide religion. He's saying, I want you to know that that leaven of religion gets in the whole thing and it causes a whole lot of difficulty and trouble. So he says, I want you to watch out for that. And then in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, a question was asked. You ran well. What hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from God, who calls you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He's saying, you see, a little bit of this stuff that's not really too good for you to have in your life, it can take over the whole lump. Now, I'm glad it does it in the flour. A little bit of yeast in the bread dough carries into all the bread that there is. And that's good. That's special. I got to tell you this story because it just popped in my head. I remember one time when I was going bear hunting. Had four other guys that was going with us. And I was really busy doing funerals. That seems to be the story of my life. But I was really busy doing funerals. And my mom said she'd get the things around for me. And so she did. But then one of the things that she did, and I didn't know that, was instead of regular flour, she bought me some self-rising flour. And you know, as we come home, we're driving on our way home, and I still had a couple of pounds or 2.5 pounds of hamburger. And the guy said, you know, why don't we just stop in a restaurant and get something to eat? I said, have you guys ever had poor man's gravy on some potatoes? They said, no, what is poor man's gravy? I said, well, you take some hamburger and you fry it down, and then you put some flour on it and kind of brown it down a little bit and add a little water, and you got poor man's gravy. They said, that sounds good. I said, okay, I'll make it then. So I made browned down the hamburger and took off a little bit of the grease, and I dumped the flour on it and browned it down good. And it was really looking nice. And then I took some of the, I said, well, instead of water, I'll add milk. It's even better with milk. So I took and added some milk, and you know what? Because of that being self-rising flour, the minute that milk hit that self-rising flour, that big skillet that I had turned into a great big biscuit. That guy said to me, I've never seen gravy like that. I said, to be honest, I never have neither. We couldn't eat the thing or anything else about it. So we did end up stopping at a restaurant. And I got home, Mom says, oh, that was self-rising flour. Well, you don't want self-rising flour to make gravy. It just makes a big biscuit instead. But Jesus is telling the disciples, and then later it's recorded for us in the book of Galatians, be careful about a little leaven. That little leaven, that yeast in that piece of dough, it's going to travel all the way through the dough. You know, when Abraham got ready to go in Genesis 13, God is going to show us that Abraham had a nephew. Lot also went with Abraham, and he had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great, they could not dwell together. And there was a little strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and livestock, and herdsmen of Lot and his livestock. And the Canaanites and the Persians then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please, let's not have strife between the two of us. Between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, between you and I as brothers, is not the whole land before us? Please separate from me, Lot. If you take the left, you pick out what you want, where you want to go, then I'll go to the right. If you take the right, then I'll go to the left. The leaven was that Lot or his family's herdsmen, but the leaven was that the land could not support them. Their groups was too big. They had too many cattle and all the other things that they had. I love it that Lot made the choice first as to where he wanted to go. And he told him, I'll take this land to the left. You see, Lot took the easy road, which led to defeat in Lot's life. And Abraham was left with the desert area. You might think, so sad. How is this possible for him to be able to move forward now in what this is going to be so much harder in what God said he's going to do for Abraham? And after Lot had separated from him, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and God said to them, still look eastward, Abraham, look westward, for all the land, look northward and southward. For all the land which you see, I'll give to you as your descendants forever. I love that God gave that promise. You know, God tells us to look beyond the difficulty of our day and see the blessing that he has to offer each one of us. I lift up my eyes to the hills, to the mountains. Where does my help come from? I love what the psalmist said. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. The maker of heaven and the earth. And that's pretty special for us to get a hold of within our life. That is something that God can cause us to go forward with and cause us to be able to produce something that's going to be very beneficial in each one of our lives. But you know what I noticed as we go through this? Lot became one because there was such a big group of people. He was one that was hindering Abraham from going forward. But you know, when Lot chose the easy way, God said right away to Abraham, I want you to lift your eyes up. Look every direction you want to, Abraham. This whole land's going to be your land. I promise it to you. I promise that I'll keep the things that I have said and bring this about in your life in the days that lie ahead. And you're going to be a blessing not only to your family. You're going to be a blessing to all the peoples of the world. And you're going to become a great nation. You know, that nation became the nation of Israel. And it surely was a great nation. But let's just take another little thought along this line before we leave this idea. And that is that a glimpse of God, as God said to Abraham one day, Abraham, I got a little job I want you to do for me. God had blessed Abraham and given him a son, Isaac. This son was born in his old age when Abraham was 100 years old. And now he says, God says to Abraham, Abraham, I want to take your son and I want you to go sacrifice your one and only son. Before we read the story, I want to inject a question. Have you ever noticed about in the Bible, the people that's talked about in the Bible, that sometimes God asks them to do something that he's never asked anybody else to do? I don't know why he does that. Have you noticed that when he asks them to do something, if they do what he asks them to do, it is not to benefit God. God would be benefited from it. But you know what I've noticed? When that person is obedient to doing that thing that God has asked him to do, it benefits that person. And it benefits the others around that person. So here's the story. After these things, God tested Abraham's faith. God said to him, Abraham, and he answered, Here am I. Then God said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, the son that you love. Go to the land of Moriah, and they'll kill him and offer him as a whole burnt offering. Do this on one of the mountains there, and I'll tell you which one. I got to tell you, it must have been a sleepless night for Abraham. Did I hear God right? Is that what he's really asking me to do? I wonder if maybe I just was dreaming about that. Early in the morning, Abraham got up. He saddled his donkey. He took Isaac and two servants with him. He cut the wood for the sacrifice. They went to a place God had told them to go. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his servants, Stay here with the donkey. My son and I will go there over there and worship God. Then we will come back to you. And Abraham took the wood for the sacrifice, and he gave it to his son to carry. And Abraham took the knife and the fire. So Abraham and his son went up together. All of a sudden they kind of stopped, and Isaac said, Father, Abraham? Abraham answered, Yes, my son. Isaac said, We have fire and we have wood, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And God, Abraham said to his son, God will provide a sacrifice. They came to the place where God had told him about. There Abraham built an altar. They laid their foot on it, wood on the altar. Then he tied up his son and he laid Isaac on the wood on the altar. Then Abraham took his knife and was about to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, and the angel said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham answered, Yes. The angel said, Don't kill your son or hurt him in any way. Now I can see that you have respect for God. I see that you have not kept back your son, your only son, for me. Then Abraham took him up and saw a male sheep. Its horns had got caught in the bushes. So Abraham went and he took the sheep and he killed it. and he offered it as a burnt offering of God to God from Abraham, and Abraham's son was spared. You know, back in the book of Hebrews, it says, by faith, when Abraham was tested in this way to offer up his son, and he who had received the promise about this one of his son, though Isaac shall you offer offspring be named, he considered that God was even able to raise him up from the dead, from which, figuratively, that's exactly what happened to Abraham and to Isaac. God is reminding us, folks, there's a blessing in our life. And the blessing in his life is to realize that God is to be obeyed even in the things that we think. What's the sense of that? It's to see where we're going to surrender our hearts to. And I'm so glad Abraham passed that test. And he passed that test, dear people, with flying colors. But I want to go back just a few moments. Can you imagine that, what that meant to God, who one day knew he was going to send his one and only son? Remember what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. You know what God is saying to us? His son was our substitute sacrifice. His son paid for my sins. His son paid for your sins. And we need to know that God is reminding us. This is something that is very special for us to get a hold of. And yet it's really illustrated way back there in that period of time in Abraham's life. Getting a glimpse of the God of forward motion. And this God who motivates us to move beyond. You see, when I read this story about Abraham, it moves beyond what I can imagine my comprehension would be if I was asked to sacrifice one of my children. We need to realize God's not going to ask us all to do that. I don't believe he's going to ask any other place. But this is between God and Abraham. But there is going to be things between you and I and God. Things just between myself and God that God wants to see what we're going to respond like. But you know what? That response, I believe with all of my heart, helped Abraham more than it did God. He just saw this man, Abraham, being obedient completely to whatever God asked him. Now he knows he can trust him with anything and everything. But for Abraham, when they came back, you know what he said to those people when he left those two servants of his with the donkey? You stay here. We're going to go up there and we're going to worship God. Then we're going to come back. And pretty soon, those two servants, see, walking back down the hill is Abraham and his son Isaac. They didn't know what happened there. God's recorded it for us to understand what's happened there. But those men didn't understand all of that. And yet at the same time, God is saying to you and I, every now and then he has something he just wants to say, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to pay this kind of a price to move forward? You see, this idea of God wanting to move us forward is not an easy task for God. And it's surely not an easy task for us. We would be very willing to just stay where we are, to be satisfied with the status quo as it is right now. But God wants to move us forward. Abraham, who believed God for a sign in old age, and he was willing to offer up his son, God will use this ministry to another generation. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from the heavens the second time, and the angel of the Lord says, You did not keep back your son, your only son, from me. Because you did this, I'm going to make you this promise by my own name. I will bless you and give you many descendants. There'll be many as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea, and they will capture the cities of their enemies. Through your descendants, all nations on earth will be blessed. This is because you obeyed me. That's powerful. This is because you obeyed me. Return to his servants. They traveled back to Beersheba, and Abraham stayed there and spent some time there. You know what I would like to add to this? There's a picture about obeying God in every way. But you know what God does as he talks about? He's going to bless other generations ahead. He's going to bring some special blessings to you and to me from Abraham's obedience. Listen to what it says in James 2:20 when it's talking about faith and works. He says, Do you have to be shown that faith which does nothing is useless? Didn't our ancestor Abraham receive God's approval as a result of what he did when he offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar? You see that Abraham's faith and what he did worked together. His faith was to be genuine by what he did. God's reminding us that Abraham shows us how it works in your life and how it works in my life. If we can come to that place of understanding his blessing upon each one of us. So as we come to this point of the message, I just want to say that I don't dare to play the last song, so I'm going to finish out the time right now because I'm not sure what it's going to do. But you know what? In the book of Galatians, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted here for him righteousness, know then that those in faith who are the sons of Abraham, and the scripture foresees that God would justify even Gentiles, that's you and I, by faith preached to the gospel beforehand to Abraham as well. In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then we are of faith and blessed among the Abrahams, that man of faith. We need to know that God is reminding us that the faith that we have is all goes back and ties into Abraham's life himself. So we want to let Abraham speak to us this morning as we wrap up our time together. It's going to seem strange not using a song, so those of you that's playing this broadcast, be ready, because there's not going to be no song at the very end. But I want you to think about this with me for just a few moments. What I've been sharing with you all morning this morning is a realization that Abraham was on a journey of faith. And on the journey of faith, the thing that mattered the most amongst everything else about the thing of faith, even when others hindered and when he hindered himself and no matter what was going on, the thing that mattered the most was that he was obedient. And every time he was obedient, God took that obedience and rewarded Abraham with righteousness. And God takes your obedience this morning. And God takes my obedience this morning. And he rewards us with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. God bless you as I go on my way. God bless you as you go on your way.